Welcome to the Shir Tagumim Parshas Yisro. Shir this evening is sponsored by Joe Bernstein, Gloria Goldenberg, marking the yard site today of her mother, Hortense Goldenberg. It's also sponsored by Jody Zaguri in memory of her father, whose yard site is today, Max Gudelman, Mayor Ben Yisrael. Shalom Shadav and Aliyah, Shishimosh Nachas Ruach, the Torah Mitzvahs and Ma'isim Tovim that the families are involved in. Yesterday we started speaking about the Aseres HaDibros, and I wanted to start today with an interesting Targum Unculus, where the Targum Unculus departs very strikingly from the simple pshat in the pasuk. We know that the Targum Unculus is very much a literalist, generally, but in Perek Chof Pasuk Zayin, the third of the Aseres HaDibros. So the pasuk reads, "Lo sisa, Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav." You should not literally lift up the name of Hashem your God for naught, for no good reason. Ki lo yinake Hashem eis asher yiso shmo Lashav. Because Hashem will not forgive the person who lifts up his name for naught. So Chazal understand that lifting up the name over here, Lo Sisa, is a reference to swearing in the name of Hashem. That's how the Targum Unculus starts off translating the Pasuk. Lo Seime Bishma Hashem Elokach. You should not swear in the name of Hashem your God. Okay? And then he translates the word Lashav for naught as limagona, for no good reason. Should not swear in the name of God frivolously, for no good reason. In other words, a person, as we'll see in a moment in Rashi, so Rashi writes, Ezu shvuas shav, what's the definition of a pointless, frivolous oath that a person would take? So that would be Hanishba Lachinam Vilahevel, a person who swears for nothingness. Al shall eitz eitz, Bial shall even even. A person takes an oath that a wooden pillar is a wooden pillar. He takes an oath that a stone pillar is a stone pillar. What's the point? I mean, we know that, right? In other words, a person takes a shvu, a person swears about something that's obviously true. And since it's so obviously true, it's meaningless. So that's the first part of the pasuk. Lo sisa eshem Hashem elokecha lashav. Don't swear frivolously for no good reason. Limagona, you know, in vain, using God's name. In other words, there's a concept of swearing. There's a concept of taking oaths. There's a whole Masechta Shavuos in the Talmud Bavli. It's not about a holiday, right? It's about taking oaths. So there's a concept of taking shvuos, but the shvuos have to be meaningful. If a person is simply going to swear that a table is a table, that a desk is a desk, that a chair is a chair, so that's taking God's name in vain. Okay, so far so good. So the second half of the pasuk says, Hashem is not going to forgive someone asher yiso shmo lashov. It repeats the same phrase, basically, that we have in the first half of the pasuk. So the way we would translate that offhand is that Hashem will not forgive the one who swears frivolously using his name. However, the Targum Unculus translates differently. Are lo yizake Hashem. Hashem will not exonerate. Yemei bishmei l'shikra. He will not exonerate the person who swears using God's name falsely. L'shikra. Now, l'shikra, falsely, is not the same checker, right? It's not the same thing as frivolously. And that same Rashi, Lashov, goes on to talk about that. What's swearing frivolously? A shvuas shav? Hanishba l'chinam v'lehevel, al shal eitz eitz v'al shal even even. A person swears about something which is true, but isn't really meaningful. I swear that a wooden pillar is a wooden pillar. I didn't have to say anything. It's a frivolous oath. In contrast, a shvuas sheker, a false oath is nishba l'shanos es hayodua. He swears that something which is clearly false. Al amud shel even shehu shel zav. He swears about a wooden pillar that it's actually made out of gold. That's incorrect. So the pasuk is talking about both, according to the Targum Unkelus. Right, the first part half of the pasuk says you shouldn't swear a shvuas shav, a meaningless, frivolous oath. The second half of the pasuk says you shouldn't swear a shvuas sheker, a false oath. But what's striking is that the words in the pasuk, in both halves of the pasuk, are exactly the same. It doesn't say shav and sheker in the pasuk. The first half of the pasuk talks about not swearing lashav, frivolously. The second half of the pasuk talks about not swearing lashav, frivolously. Right? So how did the Targum Unkelus come to translate lashav the first time around as frivolously, and lashav the second time around as falsely? They're two different things. You're translating the same word in the same pasuk in two different ways, from the first half of the pasuk to the second half of the pasuk. So the simple pshat in the pasuk is probably as follows: don't swear frivolously in God's name, because God will punish you if you swear frivolously in God's name. Meaning, no, not necessarily. In other words, on a pshat level, you can just say, don't do this, because God will punish you if you do this. I mean, that's the simple pshat in the pasuk. Now, Chazal do understand that, you know, the extra words of the pasuk are redundant. In other words, you could have just said, lo sisa shem Hashem alokecha lashav, don't swear frivolously or falsely, whatever lashav is going to mean, don't swear in God's name in that way. Ki lo yinakeyu Hashem, because Hashem will not forgive him. The whole, you know, last half of the pasuk is somewhat redundant. So that's the Gemara in Shavuos says, that this pasuk clearly must be talking about two different types of shavuos. Clearly must be talking about two different types of oaths, right? It's, you know, it's otherwise overly wordy. So the pasuk must be talking about both a shvuas shav as well as a shvuas sheker, both a frivolous oath as well as a false oath. That's a drasha from the Gemara, right? In other words, on the simple level of reading the pshat, you know, I wouldn't necessarily come to that conclusion. I would just say the Torah is saying you can't swear frivolously, and Hashem will punish you if you swear frivolously. The Targum Unkelus here, as we've seen a few times, introduces into the translation some of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? In other words, this is a Gemara's interpretation of the Pasuk, which you wouldn't necessarily have known from the Torah Shebiksav, from the written Torah by itself. There's an interesting add-on to this translation from the Targum Unkelus, which is expounded upon by the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni is one of the Rishonim, lived in France a little bit after the time of Rashi. So the Chizkuni writes that the way to read the Pasuk, according to Chazal, and ultimately according to the Targum Unkelus, is as follows. It's true that a Shvuas, that the Pasuk is talking about both a Shvuas Shav, a frivolous oath, as well as a Shvuas Sheker, a false oath. But the two are not created equal. It's definitely a bad thing to use God's name in vain to swear about something which is true but obvious, right? But it's far worse to use God's name to swear about something which is false. In other words, it's bad enough to use God's name frivolously, but to use God's name falsely is even worse, to attach Hashem's name to something which is not true. So the way to read the pasuk, says the Chizkuni, is as follows. Ultimately, the Torah wants us not to swear falsely using God's name, because if we swear falsely using God's name, so God's not going to forgive us. So the Torah says, as a sort of a gezerah, as a sort of a protective decree, you know, you shouldn't even use God's name to swear frivolously. And the way to read the pasuk is as follows. Lo sisa shem al shem al kafel lashav. Don't even use God's name to swear frivolously. Because if you're in the habit of swearing frivolously, you'll come to swear falsely. A guy who every time, you know, he wants to make a statement, you know, starts off by saying, I swear to God that, right? So sooner, you know, he may start off just swearing about things that are true but irrelevant. But ultimately, if you always talk like that, you'll come to swear falsely about things. So the pasuk says, as a sort of a gzerah, as a sort of a protective fence, don't swear using God's name frivolously, because you'll ultimately come to swear using God's name falsely. And lo yinake Hashem, eis asher yiso shmo lashav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmano Litzlan, has a terrible punishment in mind for people who swear falsely using the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, here you have this interesting phenomenon where the Targum Unculus is introducing the a little bit of the Torah Sheba'al Peh into the pasuk itself. Yeah.
I'm struck by. I can't even imagine. I'm trying to think. What is a time when a person could swear frivolously, and it would have? Why should a person ever swear frivolously? I mean, in other words, like a legal proceeding. In a legal proceeding, before a person gives testimony,
right,
a person answers the question, do you affirm or swear that what you're about to say is true, so help you God?
Right.
And then the person says yes or no. That's a non-frivolous oath, I would say. That's a non-frivolous oath. He would be being a serious oath.
Right.
But then if during the course of his testimony, he's saying things that are untrue, those are sheker. Those are lies. Those
right,
are untrue
right.
testimony. So that's one situation where I can see a distinction. But I can't even imagine, you know, the Rav gave an example, this is a bench, this is a chair. So it's not really
right. So I think the answer to the question is we live in a society where we use those kind of oaths far less frequently. Perhaps that's a good thing, but you know, it's clear. I mean, there's a whole Maseches Shvuos and a whole Maseches Nedarim that are devoted to people, you know, swearing oaths and making vows and the like. It was certainly a common part of the way people would speak, is that they wanted to underscore the truth of something, so they would swear in the name of God. I mean, the truth is, even in America, you know, again, I don't know if we use it so much in our society, because Baruch Hashem, you know, the Torah has weaned us off of this, but you certainly hear people out there saying, yeah, I swear to God that. So when a person says, I swear to God that, yeah, that's a shvua, that's an oath. That's not just, you know, I just want to convey to you how passionately I feel about the thing. That's an oath. And the Pasuk is saying, you know, you're taking God's name frivolously. You know, if a person swears to God that it's cold outside, you know, that's a frivolous oath. You know, we don't utilize the name of God in such a frivolous kind of fashion.
I hear that, Rabbi Ron, but what I guess I'm saying is, I understand that, and that's right. I hear that. What I don't understand is, when someone underscores, I swear to God that, my antenna go up and say, this person's about to say something that's not true. You know, I don't know.
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. I mean, sometimes the person for emphasis will want to say that that such and such a thing is true. And the way they want to emphasize that such a thing is true is they say, I swear to God that.
So you know? Many times in school,
Right. No, you know, again, Baruch Hashem, I think we do it less in our circles because we've been trained that you don't just, you know, throw God's name around like that frivolously. But people do. People definitely do. Yeah, so lahalacha, even though you're allowed to take an oath, I mean, otherwise we wouldn't have a Masechta Shavuos, right? It's considered appropriate to refrain from taking an oath whenever possible, you know, so as not to even potentially take God's name in vain. So in other words, what's generally advised, you know, in a contemporary secular legal setting, you know, you affirm as opposed to I swear, is appropriate. In other words, that, you know, again, we're not prohibited from swearing according to halacha, but we're encouraged to avoid swearing where we can, you know, so because of the tremendous penalty that's attached to swearing falsely or even swearing frivolously, you know, as we see over here. So that's why, you know, they fortunately give us the option of saying I affirm, you know, in a judicial context. Another example where a slight, this is a little bit more subtle, but a more subtle translation of the Targum Onkelos might hint at a halachic or Torah Shebaal Peh issue is in the very next of the Aseres HaDibros, the Dibra that talks about Shabbos. So it starts off by saying, as we know, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos LeKadsha. Remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify it. And the Targum Onkelos is Hevei Dechir. Be cognizant. Yas Yom HaShabbos LeKadoshusei. Be in a state of remembrance of the day of Shabbos to sanctify it. On the surface, that's just really a translation of the Hebrew. But if you think about it a little bit, there may be a subtlety over here which is being conveyed by the Targum. That's as follows. The simple reading of the Hebrew, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho, remember Shabbos, seems to be commanding us to doing something specific at a specific point in time. Right? There is a time at which you should remember Shabbos. And indeed, one of the ways this pasuk is understood by Chazal is that this is the pasuk which is the source for the mitzvah of Kiddush. Right? We have a mitzvah to make Kiddush on Shabbos. So there's a specific moment in time where we have to remember Shabbos. Zachar is Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho. When Shabbos begins, remember Shabbos verbally by reciting a bracha over a cup of wine. Right? That's Zachar is Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho. But we also find the Gemara brings in the beginning of the second parak of Masech Tebetza that Shammai HaZaken had a different interpretation of Zachar as Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho. The Ramban over here speaks about this. The Gemara says that Shammai HaZaken throughout the week was always setting aside a nice piece of food that he would find to be able to consume it on Shabbos. Right? In other words, if he found a special on a certain kind of food on Tuesday, and again, assuming that it was still going to be good by Shabbos, we'd buy it on Tuesday and said, oh, this is going to be the Kovet Shabbos. And even though the Gemara says that Hillel HaZaken conducted himself differently, the Gemara says that Hillel HaZaken had trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam that he would provide for his needs on Shabbos. So in other words, if he found something nice on Tuesday, he would buy it Tuesday, he would eat it Tuesday, and then assume that, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of me between Tuesday and Shabbos. He'll send something else that's going to be very delectable and wonderful to eat. But as the Ramban over here points out, that wasn't a fundamental disagreement with the approach of Shammai HaZaken. It's just that Hillel HaZaken had a tremendous, tremendous level of bitachon, of trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam. But fundamentally as well, Hillel HaZaken also adhered to the notion that we should be constantly thinking about Shabbos, even during the week. In what sense? That we should be constantly thinking about what we can do during the week in order that Shabbos should be special. In other words, Zachar is Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho, according to this interpretation, doesn't mean that there's a specific moment in time at which we do something to remember Shabbos and then we're done. Zachar Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho means you should constantly be thinking about Shabbos. Right, exactly. That's exactly a good example, right? In other words, Hayom Yom Chamishi B'Shabbos. In other words, we're thinking about, which again, the Ramban over here writes, is the fulfillment of the idea of Zachar Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho. Shabbos is supposed to be on our minds. So that idea seems to be what the Targum Onkelos over here is conveying. Right? Not Zachar es Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho, not remember it, but Hevei Dechir, not Dechar, but Hevei Dechir. Be in a state of remembering about Shabbos. In other words, something which is ongoing, as opposed to something which is limited to a particular moment in time. We mentioned yesterday that the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel speaks at length about how the Dibros were revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. We saw a very, very elaborate description how when the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke the Dibros, fire came out of the heavens It hovered over the heads of the Jewish people. The fire formed itself into words. The fire then went and engraved itself on the luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu was holding. It created miraculously words that you could read from either side, and they read correctly. You didn't see a mirror image on the other side of the luchos. Again, a very, very incredible description of what was going on over there. There's a similar elaborate description when it comes to some of the short dibros, which are the end of the Aseres HaDibros. You know, once you get to dibros 6, 7, and 8, the dibros are incredibly short. They even fit, I don't know if we have it over here, but the whole dibro fits on top of the Oro, right, on the Luchos, right? Per Chav Pasuk Yud Gimel, Lo Sirtzach, Lo Sinof, Lo Signof. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal. Right? Very, very simple. So from these six words, the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel builds a whole elaborate discussion of the extent of these fundamental mitzvos. Let's just read a little bit. Perek Chof Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ami b'nei Yisrael, my nation, the children of Israel, lo sehevon ketolim, you should not be murderers. That's the translation of lo sirtzach. You shouldn't be murderers, right? Don't murder. Okay, that's the translation. But more than that, lo chavrin velo shutfin in kotolin. You shouldn't be friends or partners with murders. Velo yischame b'knei shoshon di Yisrael am kotolin. And in the gatherings of the Jewish people, there shouldn't be seen a nation of murderers. V'lo yakumun b'neichon min basreichon, and your children should not rise up after you. V'yelfun l'chod hinun l'mehevi am ketolin, and they shouldn't learn to be part of a nation of murderers. Arum b'chove katolayo charbo nafek al alma, because you should know that because of the sin of murder, the sword, war, is unleashed upon the world. Obviously, that's not a translation, right? I mean, that's a lot of extra words to translate lo sirtzach, right? Lo sirtzach means you shouldn't murder. But what the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is bringing out over here is a fascinating and fundamental perspective. Lo sirtzach doesn't simply mean don't murder. It means don't hold company with murderers, don't encourage murder, don't join together with murderers, and don't create a society where murder is acceptable. And really, the Yonasan ben Uziel over here is bringing out the following. You know, a person might say, okay, what Jew do you know that's a killer already? I mean, you know, we could probably count. I mean, we have some of them upstairs on your site plaque, so that's true. But, most of the people we hang out with, you know, they're not murderers. It's not one of the Averos, Baruch Hashem, that, most people are caught up with. But the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is saying, you know what, part of Lo Sirtzach is also not to be an associate with a murderer, not to kind of sweep murder under the rug, not to say, well, it's not so terrible. And there already, an otherwise decent person can very easily find themselves in a situation where, okay, I'm not a murderer, but maybe I condone murder, right? And all what's part of this whole Isser of Lo Sirtzach is not to whitewash murderers either. He does a similar thing with Lo Sinof. Ami b'nei Yisrael lo sehevon giorin. My nation, the children of Israel, you should not be adulterers. Lo chavrin v'lo shutfim im gayorin. You shouldn't be, friends or partners with adulterers. Lo yischame b'kneshason de Yisrael am gayorin. And the Jewish people shouldn't be seen in the company of nations that are adulterers. Lo yakumu b'neichon mi basreichon, so that your children should not rise up after you. They shouldn't learn that it's acceptable to be an adulterer. Because you should know through the sin of adultery, Mosa Nafik al Alma, pestilence, the plague, descends upon the world. Right? In other words, it's not just that you have to stay away from these kinds of averos themselves, you have to call out these averos when they find themselves in society. He similarly gives a similar interpretation to Lo Signov, right? Don't steal, and gives a similar interpretation to Lo Sana Vireacha Eid Shaker, you know, don't bear false witness against your fellow. It's not just that these acts per se are prohibited, but being a part of these acts in any way, a supporting character to these acts, is also something which is forbidden as well. Why don't you just turn our attention while we're on this pasuk back to the Targum Onkelos and note the following, which is very, very striking. So, for Lo Sirtzach, you should not murder. The Targum Onkelos translates Lo Siktol Nefosh. You should not kill a person. Right? Notice he doesn't simply say Lo Siktol, you shouldn't kill. Right, but lo siktol nefash, you shouldn't kill a person. Right, yeah, 100%. So that what the Targum Onkelos seems to be saying is that, you know, don't think that the isser, the prohibition of lo sirtzach, somehow includes, you know, animals or the like. You know, again, there's a concept of tzar ba'alei chayim, but we are not of the persuasion that killing an animal is equivalent to killing a person. Lo sirtzach means don't kill a person. It doesn't mean that you have to refrain from killing an animal. Okay, so it's striking how he puts in that word. But then, just a few words later, lo signov, the Targum Onkelos translates almost verbatim, lo signov, you shouldn't steal. So why is that striking? I mean, so the pasuk says don't steal, and the Targum Onkelos translates it, don't steal. Well, it's striking because of what Rashi writes over here, which is the opinion of Chazal and the Gemara. Lo signov, writes Rashi, begonev nefoshos hakosov medaper. The pasuk is really talking about don't kidnap, don't steal people. Right? That's what lo signov means. Where do we find the pasuk telling us that you're not supposed to steal money? So that's a different pasuk. That's the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. Lo signovu. Right, that's talking about stealing money. But in the Aseres HaDibros, where it says Lo Signov, that's talking about kidnapping. Now, on the surface, it would seem that the Targum Onkelos disagrees with that. Because the Targum Onkelos took pains to tell us that Lo Sirtzach means don't kill a person. He, for the same price, when it came to Lo Signov, he could have said Lo Signov Nefosh, don't steal a person. He doesn't do that. Right, so what's going on over here? We spoke earlier about how the Targum Onkelos tries to incorporate the Torah Sheba'al Peh into the Torah Sheb'Ksav. But here he seems to be giving an interpretation that goes against the Torah Sheba'al Peh. He seems to be leaving it as the simple pshat. So what it would seem is that the Targum Onkelos perhaps is doing as follows. While it's true that Chazal tell us Lo Signov is talking about kidnapping, the question is it only talking about kidnapping? In other words, if a person steals money, is that also included in the Aseret HaDibros, Lo Signov, right? Perhaps Chazal are telling us that there's a general prohibition that applies to stealing anything or anybody, right? A person, a pencil, you know, anything will ultimately be included in Lo Signov. You should just know that the ultimate expression of Lo Signov is not to steal another human being. But not that Lo Signov doesn't also include other things beyond that as well. Perhaps the Targum Onkelos holds like that, which is why he doesn't put the word nefosh, you know, into his translation of the pasuk itself. Okay, in any case, we should be zochet the Shabbos as we read the Aseres HaDibros to take the lessons of the Aseres HaDibros to heart. You know, Rashi quotes that the Aseres HaDibros, not just Rashi, other Rishonim write as well, but Rashi quotes that the Aseres HaDibros ultimately include all Taryag mitzvos. You know, so when the Aseres HaDibros were revealed, kind of like what we're saying now with Lo Signov, they were a framework for the entire Torah, all 613 mitzvahs. So as we read about the Aseres HaDibros, we should be zocha not only to be able to follow them, but all of the 613 mitzvahs which are connected to them. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Rabbi